This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday. Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. Because we love that you're here and we are inviting you to join us as we rescue the art of homemaking from the daily grind with red lips and no denim jumpers. I am your host, co-host, Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl, and I am joined by the fabulous Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead. And a little over a year ago, we just decided that the world of podcasting needed two people that don't quite know what they're doing, but give it their best try. So,
happy Monday.
A for effort. Today, we have a fun topic for you. Thank you so much for all your lovely words of condolences and empathy for last week's episode. Those were very kind, and we are reading each and every one of them. We're going to just lighten things up a little bit today, and we're going to talk about some specific ways that you and I and Shay can skill up in our summer kitchen.
Good morning.
Good morning. What are you wearing?
It sounds great.
Oh, Shay Elliott, it's so wonderful to see you on the red carpet this morning. What are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing Gap.
I've never seen that before.
You've seen this 100 times before.
Is that off the rack?
I have like... three shirts. We have to do a fashion episode soon because I was lamenting with my friend Natalie who came over for dinner last night. And I was just said it's not fair because you get it figured out where we live. You get it figured out. And then the seasons change. And what worked for your summer wardrobe does not work for your fall wardrobe. And that doesn't work for your winter wardrobe because the seasons are so distinct here.
Oh, they're like...
Hey. Yeah. And I'm like, every 3 months, that's too often for me to have to reassess things.
Yeah. I do think, I mean, there's also like, as a farm girl, there's an in public wardrobe and then there's an on the farm. I mean, by far, fall fashion is like what is really the only thing to get excited about. Okay, because that's when it starts getting really, really exciting and a little bit more where you're not just like worried about, will I sweat through that?
Yeah, it's true. I actually had this crisis. You know me. I go through a fashion crisis.
Shay's got a crisis
60
every
days.
4 days.
But my crisis was, do I need to actually adapt my style to sort of take in a little bit more like bohemian gypsy farm-esque because I'm just on the farm schlopping it every day. So my cute little Frenchy style that I love, I never get to wear. Like it's...
There's got to be ways you can incorporate that into farm work though.
Well, I mean, there are. But then there's just your like throw down uniform. I got to go move the sheep. And you kind of just like, you got to wear jeans for that. Mm-hmm. You got to wear boots.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I only wore cowboy boots for a solid decade of my life. Only cowboy boots. I think they might need to come back. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. It's fine. We're fine. Everything's fine here.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be exploring this soon on YouTube because like I got to change before I go into town. Like it's like it goes from farm life to resort life in 4 miles. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm going to have some fun with looking at. And it's not like I'm like one of we have like people up here that they bring their yachts up from the Virgin Islands. It's crazy. But for me, because I do like fashion, it is fun to change my clothes and just go kind of get my gun off for 20 minutes while I run my errands and then come back and get filthy again. So if you would like to see what we are wearing, I'd just like to see what we're talking about when we're talking about our jewelry or our red lips or our cowboy boots or whatever, then we invite you to join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast. You show some love to us. I need a coffee. That's not fair, Shay. We'll show some love to you with digital downloads of our cookbooks, a private Discord server where you can hang out with all the other homemakers mm-hmm. that listen to the show and exchange recipes, have some fun, great banter there. And along with everything else that goes with that, we have the bonus feature of that you will have access, private, exclusive access to the video version of the show. Mm-hmm. So listen to the show on Monday and Thursday. Wait patiently a few days while we edit that and then enjoy the video version. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast. Ooh, Shay, I see a little newsletter reminder cue there for you.
Oh, okay. This is good because we've been getting some emails. So we will have an email going out each Friday with the week's episodes and all the show notes and all the links. So it just makes it easier for you guys. If you go to homemakerschicpodcast.com and scroll to the bottom, there's a little sign up for our newsletter box. Okay. You put your email in there and hit submit. You'll get an email that just says, hey, confirm that you want to be on Homemaker Chic's list, blah, blah. You just got to hit the confirm button. I'm running into some technical problems where when you hit that confirm button, it'll take you to a sign-in page for ConvertKit, which is the system that we use to send our emails out. You don't need to worry about that. Once you hit that confirm button in your email, you're good to go. I know this because I've subscribed myself like 12 times. I have confirmed it. So once you hit the confirm button in your email, you're fine. Don't create a ConvertKit account. Don't worry about signing in.
Oh my gosh.
I'll get it figured out, but I haven't yet, but I will. This is my whole life right now is putting out little technical fires from the YouTube channel, the blog, the cooking community, the podcast, whatever it may be. It's that and trying to remember my passwords, which have gotten very intense as of late. It's like, please select the traffic lights. I'm like, is that a traffic light or is that a sign? I can't
click
tell.
Any pictures with a mountain. I don't, mountains are relative. Is that a mountain? I don't know. Is that a bump? Is that a septic mount? I like.
This is my
so bloody stressful.
My whole life is me shouting at Stuart. I can't get in. Now it has to text me a login code. But my phone's dead. Can you plug my phone in?
Yes.
Can you text me the code? This is it. If you wonder what it's like to live our lives online, that's it.
It's so very true. That's why we like the really nice emails that are like, you girls are just doing your best. Bless your hearts. The ones that are like, excuse me, it is 4:02 on Thursday and there's no video version of the show. Like those sort of make us crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They don't even make me mad. They just make me want to cry.
Fetal
I give
position.
Up. All right, let's cue the wedding music.
Let's cue it. So here's what we want you to do, lovely homemakers. We invite you to bookmark Ooh. This page so you can make it super easy. In French, we say très facile. Dryfarmwines.com/homemakerschic. Before we enjoy our conversation today, would you pour a glass with us? It's slightly early. But, you know, depending on what time you're listening, we give you permission. Here at Homemaker Chic, we drink dry farm wines. Dry farm wines are sourced from wineries around the world, and they will deliver these wonderful bottles to your doorstep, or if you are in one of those poo-poo states that won't let you have alcohol delivered to your doorstep, you can have it sent to your local wine shop. You can arrange that with them privately.
Every time we think about that, I just think of William Wallace and like, freedom!
Paint your face blue, show up at the wine shop in a kilt.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Is there Scottish wine? It's probably whiskey. These wines are sourced from boutique, family-owned small vineyards from around the world. And this is a very chic way for you to fill your wine cabinet because they are natural. So there is no genetically modified yeast. There is no additional sugars added to create that fermentation. They're just using the natural yeast from the fruit, which I think is fabulous. So they're sugar-free, additive-free, chemical-free. And when you do purchase dry farm wines, of course, you're supporting the show
but you're supporting these beautiful families around the world, these small farmers that are doing things the old-fashioned way, which is pretty important to Shay and I. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since we're talking about skilling up in the kitchen today, this is like one of the easiest ways I can think of to skill up in the kitchen is to sort of readdress your wine cabinet in a smaller, better, not more kind of a way. So this is wine that is probably above the price point that most people are used to spending on a bottle of grocery store wine.
Yeah.
And so the way that we counter that is we drink less. And maybe that doesn't sound good to you, but this can be a good thing too. This can be a very beautiful way to really skill up, to pay attention to what you're drinking, to not just mindlessly pour out bottle after bottle. It really is it's such a chic way to skill up in the kitchen.
We had a company overnight before last, and I have a friend who has a doozy of Lyme's disease. It's not good. It's no bueno. And I know she's not drinking. And I knew she wanted to. And I said, would you like to try a glass of Dry Farm? And I just gave her like a quick rundown without being too spiely. I just wanted her to know, like, you're not going to like fall over if you haven't had wine in 60 days. It's like 11.5% alcohol. And so that was fun because even for someone like her, who's really is not partaking, but would like to every once in a while and needs to do it as clean as possible when she does. But she said about how much I kind of gave her the rundown on the price. But it's a different mindset. It goes back to what we started with, better, not more. We're not talking about like just burning through like those big, cheap Chardonnays. We're talking about having a few glasses a week of something really good and something that you can hang your hat on, if you will. So visit dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic and ask me what I'm sipping.
Yes, I was just going to go there. What are you sipping, dear Angela? Okay.
Well, not right now. But here we go.
Oh, yes.
You can see there's some left. Mm-hmm. The lighting is really good. You can actually see that.
It is really good.
Usually you can't see the bottles that I hold up. So this is French, which was exciting because a lot of my, I like a big, heavy red. And so I get a lot of Austrians in my order. This is Chateau Tour de Boisset. This is a Bordeaux Supérieur. Marc Le Temps. That's the vigneron. And
Well done.
Merci. I really liked this bottle. And then I did a little research as to why. And my favorite region in France is Saint-Emilion. And this is 10 kilometers south of that region.
Okay.
And 50% Merlot, 50% Cabernet Sauvignon, clay limestone, limestone subsoil, and of course, organic, biologically grown. So with Dry Farm, there's no irrigation. There's obviously no pesticides, no anything extra. They're just
nothing.
Letting the vine do its thing. Let me see if I can find out how many. So the maceration, mark allows this maceration to last 3 to 4 weeks to obtain a greater complexity, followed by a word I can't pronounce. Oh, no, I can. Malolactic fermentation. So 20% of this blend is aged in oak barrels underground. I'm looking at a beautiful photograph right now. It takes place in a former quarry, and it's underneath the Chateau Vineyard. So super romantic. Hello.
I just want to live in a place like that, surrounded by mold and cheese and fermenting wine.
Good stank.
Yeah. Give me all that good stank. It's good for you.
So grab your first bottle for a penny. Place an order. They're going to give you an extra bottle for a penny. dryfarmwines.com/homemaker. Homemaker chic.
Yes. Do this, my friends. Mm-hmm. I had a beautiful bottle of Prosecco last night with our company. It was fabulous. So good. You know me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give me the bubbles. Give me those Italian bubbles. Okay. Today we are deep diving into skilling up in the summer kitchen, which is the perfect topic considering both of us actually had company this weekend and both of us were able to sort of bust out some of those summer moves. And we're actually going to be referencing two books as we talk. The first is Angela's cookbook, From France to the Farm. So patrons, take a peek. It's when she had longer hair. I love your cookbook. I lament so much the fact that we don't get to do life side by side and cooking alongside somebody or using their recipes is such an emotional way to bring somebody into your mm-hmm. kitchen. So sometimes I just miss you and I just bring out your cookbook and I cook from it. Mm-hmm. And it's such a romantic way to have you there with me. And then the other book that we're going to be referencing is a book I wrote called, what is it called? Seasons at the Farms. This is what it looks like. So
it's
there's
beautiful. It's everything it should be.
It goes through all the seasons, but there is, there's a summer season and we talk about food in this season. And so we're going to be referencing various recipes and a few other things that we'll make sure that those are available to our patrons as well. So we'll copy and paste the recipes that we're talking about over on Patreon. Okay. Where do you want to start?
Well, I just want to start with the idea. I think that what summer does for, and I know we're speaking to people around the world. So we're speaking of like a four seasons American summer, but you guys can extrapolate from it.
Yeah.
What you wish as you can. For me, and tell me if this is the same for you, what summer does, it just brings this relaxation. It's just sort of this release. For me personally, I go all year for these 90 to 120 days. This is what I live for. This is when I'm, quite frankly, my best self. I'm happiest. I'm more carefree. I feel prettier. I feel more romantic.
Oh, girl, you're just.
No, I do. I have all the feelings. Like we FaceTimed yesterday and I FaceTimed her. I was sitting in the pond. I had the jazz playing. I'm like, this is it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I work. Mm-hmm. It reminds me, it's so silly. The mindset reminds me of high school. In high school, I had a job and I would work until the next dance. So I could buy a really pretty dress for the next dance. And then I would work for the next dance. And I would always look forward to that. And as an adult, silly as it sounds, like that's how I treat summer. Mm-hmm. This is my moment. I get to exercise all the things, all the little touches that I want. And that really comes out just in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. So it gets a little bit less smoggy and utilitarian. And it does. It gets more romantic. It's the running. It's the act of running out to the garden and grabbing the little scallions and the fresh lettuces and mm-hmm. all the feelings that that gives you and the poaching the eggs or frying the eggs. It's just like this culmination of the whole year, mm-hmm. Especially as a farmer, I suppose. So mm-hmm. It gives me this feeling of wanting to just sort of take everything to the next level and do everything well. And gift that. Mm-hmm. And like even just having people the other night, it was super simple. I made my world famous salami wraps. And it was just like, here's a little something, something. Enjoy mm-hmm. the jazz. Enjoy the lights. The fountain running in the background. We laughed. We had a great time. Like I want to like pocket as many moments of those as I can. But I don't want to, and no offense, I don't want to come to it with a ranch dressing Tupperware from the store. Okay. I want to like do my very best as simple as I can because mm-hmm. it's a busy time to make it beautiful and aesthetically pleasing and give someone like this, oh, like, wow, I just had a moment. That evening was a moment or that bite was a moment. I want to do that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes to all of this. I think the easiest way you hit on to sort of, before we even talk about what we're cooking, the food we're cooking, mm-hmm. setting the stage, summer is the time to bring out the string of lights. And even if you don't have a perfect place to put people outside, you can create those moments, even if it's just on your apartment balcony, but you've got the music playing and you have the lights strung up. Not a safe time for candles if you live where I live. There'll be no outside candles. Oh, man. No fires, none of these sorts of things. So string of lights it is. I'm picturing just pots of herbs or just pots of even annual flowers out, things that people could really easily do because not everybody has cultivated a huge garden. right. like you have to bring people into. But there are little ways that you can bring that taste in. So before you ever even eat, you've already wet their palate for what's going to come.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, even the furniture we sat on the other night, some of it I've had for 20 years. It's from our first little condo mm-hmm. where we weren't supposed to do anything like that outside. And I like wrapped lights around a tree and strung them and duct taped them and plugged them in. And I had our two chairs out there and we just would play music loud. It was like before yeah. iPods or anything. So, it was not an aesthetically pleasing situation. Like we were inviting people to sit on a sidewalk that other people had to use to get to their part of the condo. Mm-hmm. But we created this little area. It made like this mindset, this vibe just by doing those few things. So you really can do it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just bringing those elements in. And what I find is when you do set the stage in that way, then it does give you this extra freedom and relaxation that you can bring to the meal mm-hmm. because some of the work is already done for you. Whereas in the winter,
cast the spell or, you know.
Yeah. People are coming in and they're trudging through the snow and they're having to take their snow gear off and they're cold. Right. And you're just like, all right, we got a lot of work to do to get you from 0 to 60, you know, where we want you to be.
Yeah.
I'm doing this really great hospitality series with ladies in my church right now. And one of the things that we've been really talking about that I've been convicted by is that, and I know this isn't exactly what we're talking about today, but when you are bringing people into your home to feed them for this fellowship, this costs you. This should cost you. That doesn't mean that we need to aim for perfection when you're bringing people in. But like, you know, we've joked about before, like, you know, it's flushing the turd down the toilet, making sure that there's toilet paper and hand soap in the bathroom, no dirty underwear sitting on the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, you are putting some effort in. This is, you're exerting energy so that other people can sort of fill up a little bit on that energy. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to remember that when we think about opening up our summer kitchens, because summer is the time that people get together. Yes, you're going to be eating with your family on a Tuesday night, just you guys. And that's just as important. But this is the time of barbecues and birthday parties and outside fellowship and
graduations, everything.
All
and
the
everything's
things.
Going like ready to go a little hog nutty. Quite frankly, after the last year and a half.
Yes, exactly.
Don't underestimate how excited people are to come over
exactly.
and sit exactly. in your front yard. Okay.
Never underestimate how happy people are to have somebody else cook for them. Lest you hold yourself to a higher standard than you need to. Man, right. especially when I had young kids. I'm still this way, but especially when I had young kids. If somebody was like, come over, and we had boxed mac and cheese, I was just so happy. I was so happy that I got to recharge in somebody else's space and go mm-hmm. home to no dishes. So just think about that as you're preparing your summer kitchen. It simple as it is and as pared back as we do like to keep things so that we can enjoy this time. Anything you do in the kitchen is going to be effort. That's my disclaimer.
Okay. Let's start with that. Let's start about like the simplicity. Like we're not talking about like an 8-course meal under candelabras outside.
No,
this is not the time for that. Can we just talk about that? Please working. Just lighten up.
What? There's a bat in the kitchen. A bat in the kitchen.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I've had six interruptions since we've been in here. Both my boys, they brought me the first raspberry. Apparently, Stuart came in to get his iPad, and now there's a bat in the kitchen. So, never a dull moment. Okay, I'm going to do a shameless plug here for my cooking community because please. We do a theme each month at the request of my members. So, I think this is like our sixth theme that we've done. And the theme for July, so the recipe is coming up in 2 weeks, is herbs. And I have never had so much fun doing recipes as I did this month, because they're all recipes that you can make in 10 minutes or less, like super hands-off, super simple, and everything was centered around herbs, which are the easiest way to add flavor to anything. Like simple, simple, simple. Was that your question? I can't remember what your question was. I got distracted by the bat. What were we talking about? There was a reason I was bringing that in.
I don't remember.
I feel like it was simplicity. I don't remember.
That's
what
okay.
It was. Simple okay. Recipes.
Let's just actually, like, because we're going to just kind of give them some ways to skill up in the kitchen. Can we just start with herbs? Let's just do it.
Okay.
And we don't, Maddie, I don't even care about specifics, but like, just get some.
All of them.
In the checkout lane. Put them on your windowsill. I don't care. And just start experimenting.
Mm-hmm. One of the rest, so that was part of the push with this cooking community recipes was like, people don't necessarily, they know how to use basil. They know it goes with tomatoes. They know how to use parsley, right? Because they've seen it on all the things. But people don't know necessarily how to use tarragon. Like that one, you know, it eludes people a little bit more. And so the idea was sort of to push people into this herb world where there is so much life to be had. And if anything inspires you in your summer kitchen, it should be the herbs that are available. So let's talk about some. I mean, obviously, we've got basil. We've got thyme, oregano, all the parsley. I prefer flat leaf parsley. That's just me. Because curl parsley gets stuck in my throat.
Rosemary,
of course. Mm-hmm. Tarragon.
Lemongrass.
Sage.
Cilantro.
Okay. Can I just talk about sage for a minute?
I have kind of a problem. I have like so much sage.
I love sage so much.
I love it.
Here's a little fun thing to do. Put some flour in a bowl, add a hefty pinch of salt, add beer till it's like thin pancake consistency. Mm-hmm. Flour and beer and salt. That's it, okay? Take your sage leaves, dip them in, and then fry them in duck fat, hot duck fat. Just fry them and serve that as an appetizer with some Prosecco. And your guests will wet their pants. It's so good.
Yes.
Fried sage
leaves.
And
don't panic. Just get some duck fat off Amazon.
Don't panic.
You can find it.
Duck fat, lard, tallow. I just like duck fat. That's my preferred frying oil of choice.
Well, a lot of people I know, I mean, I know when I discovered just frying sage.
Yeah.
To go with pasta or pancakes, like whatever.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah. The Elliott Homestead Cooking Community is a sponsor of Homemaker Chic Podcast because, frankly, homemakers have to cook. This is for home cooks out there who would love some new inspiration, ideas, and motivation in the kitchen. Each month, you'll get 5 new recipes shipped to your door or to your inbox, whichever you prefer. Recipes will range from entrees to side dishes to desserts to sourdough breads and everything in between. I'll also guide you through the month's recipes with a long, in-depth cooking video showing you new skills and encouraging you as you give these recipes a try in your own kitchen. And lastly, you'll be invited into our exclusive community of like-minded home cooks where you can ask questions, share your successes, and gain inspiration from women just like you. The Elliott Homestead Cooking Community is here to inspire and nourish your family with whole food recipes, price-conscious recipes, from scratch recipes that are designed to enjoy. We're going to teach you to bake. We're going to teach you to use sourdough. We're going to teach you to ferment things and to try new ingredients. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to join as a member today.
Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20. Summer is here. We are line drying our linens or lounging in bed after a long day of gardening, and we are doing both of these things with our American Blossom linens. Softer with each washing, these are our favorite sheets. As fans of vintage linens, these are the best sheets ever. In fact, we call them modern vintage, and you need to be sleeping on them. With a process called combing, all the rough fibers are pulled out of these organic, Texas-grown cotton sheets. This creates the softest, most beautiful linens for your home. Invest once, because American Blossom linens are woven to last a lifetime. That's right, invest just once and never again with American Blossom linens. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com and use our exclusive coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off.
Jovial Foods has been a longtime sponsor of Homemaker Chic, and we are so grateful for the good food that they add to our pantries. Visit jovialfoods.com. Jovial Foods is an amazing company that was founded by husband and wife team Carla and Rodolfo. After they discovered years ago that their daughter had a gluten sensitivity, they struck out to find grains that her body could easily digest and thrive off of eating, and that led them to einkorn. Einkorn is the oldest variety of wheat that we know about, and it's never been hybridized. It is rich in protein and has a weak gluten structure, which makes it really easy for our bodies to digest. Now, Jovial Foods is the top supplier of einkorn flours in the world, and this has gone on to develop into einkorn pastas, Italian olive oils, einkorn snacks, and the top-rated gluten-free pasta line. This flour will change your baking world. So whether you're stocking your pantry with their beans, their oils, their cookies, crackers, pastas, or flours, visit jovialfoods.com to stock your whole food pantry with these amazing products. And I will actually venture to say that I fry more food in the summertime. And hear me out. It's not that we eat everything fried, but when I'm serving four dishes at a meal, okay, let's say like I've got like a cold cut roast beef, and then I've got this amazing parsley salad with, and I've got tomatoes and basil. I've got all these freshy things. My mind is always thinking in the counter. So
opposites.
Salty, sweet, cold, hot, crunchy, squishy. And so when you've got all these fresh, vibrant, just coated with olive oil and lemon juice and just fresh, fresh, fresh. My palate wants something salty and fatty to counter that. And hot.
I fry a lot in the summer. I mean, whether it's zucchini blossoms, stuffed with cheese, or lots of frying going on.
Yeah. And so what I do is I have a cast iron Dutch oven, and I always keep like 3 inches of oil of duck fat in it. I use it. I don't use it for meat. I have a separate one for like fish or something. But
okay,
I do fry up vegetables more often than other things, or some sort of fritters, any potatoes, any of that kind of stuff. So then I use it outside. I fry it outside, and then I'll just take the whole thing, lid on, and put it in my fridge. And I just keep it in there. And then when I need it again, I just pull it out. So it doesn't become this big elaborate thing. You just go get the oil. And every once in a while, I add a little bit more. Super simple way to keep things on hand. But don't be scared of frying. Don't be scared of frying.
No.
This is a good thing.
It's got a bad
fat
rap.
Is a good thing.
But that's because they're talking about Crisco and hydrogenated garbage.
Yeah.
You use some good lard, some duck fat.
Yeah.
Whatever. Olive oil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I would if, if I was needing to try something new or expand. Like, just go really basic. Don't be intimidated by anything.
Yeah.
Get some herbs. Put them on your windowsill. Start really simple. Like, chop up a bunch. Experiment with flavors. And I put mine in with the fat. So if I've got, like, a clarified butter or an olive oil, I put the herbs in to heat with that. Mm-hmm. And then I'll fry my egg after it's sort of...
Fragrant?
Yeah, fragrant.
Mm-hmm. All of that, please.
All of it.
So I know we need to talk about eating outside. That's a whole other thing. But since we're talking about cooking outside in the summertime is everything to me.
Everything.
It's a cleaner kitchen. It's less of a mess inside. It's the experience. We put a little water feature by where we cook outside so that there's the sound of running water. We have the fragrance of the flowers. Like, it's just, we created a space that we love because we just have one of those like little propane burners. It's nothing fancy. We have our big green egg grill, and then we've got a little propane burner. Like, it's...
Yeah. I've got, like, the three the camper.
I have the two like camper stove.
There's three burners, and I have it sitting on like a 7 or 8 foot pallet that serves as like a countertop.
Yeah.
The propane tank is underneath. All the frying happens outside.
Yep. Yep.
So you're not wiping down all the copper.
All that kind of stuff. Indoors. Exactly. Yeah. So one of my sort of moves that I have in the summertime is I bake a lot less bread in the summertime, but I love bread and bread products and all things mm-hmm. bread. And so one thing that I'll do a lot in the summer is I'll whip up flatbreads and we'll cook those outside. So let's say we cook our meat on the Big Green Egg, which is the grill that we use, or we just heat a cast iron skillet on the propane stove and you can fry flatbreads. There's not a lot of forethought that has to go into flatbreads. You don't even need to let them rise. So I'm going to give everybody a recipe right now. So grab a pen. Okay. This is a recipe that's actually from Seasons at the Farm, but it's not in the summer section, but it's a recipe that I use all the time. This is actually a bottle of Dry Farm wines, actually. See this?
Yes.
Okay, so this is an einkorn flatbread, but use what kind of flour you like, but I like einkorn. So it's 4 cups of einkorn flour, 2 tablespoons of honey, 3 teaspoons of salt, 3 teaspoons of yeast, and 1.5 cups of warm water. Just literally pile that all in a bowl. It does not matter in what order it goes in. Whip it all together, knead it until it's smooth, which takes like 30 seconds, put it in a bowl, and then all you got to do is grab a piece of it, roll it out, throw it on the barbecue. And then when it's done, I take a stick of butter and I butter it so it stays soft. And then I sprinkle parsley over the top or chives or something.
Yes.
So it's buttery
oil.
And drippy and chewy and fabulous. And it's my total cheat bread because I don't cook with yeast really ever, except for when I make these flatbreads because they're... And how often in the summer are you, you know, you're down at the river with your friends and you're like, you know what, let's just throw together a dinner tonight. Let's just come on over. We'll think of something. You can have these ready in no time at all. Do you hear this noise?
I do. I hear your rooster nonstop. I'm going to have to dig for a pen because my pencil broke. So keep talking.
Okay. We have our first rain of the entire season today. And what that means, all the cherries are red and ripe and they're about ready to start picking. And so what that means is now they're sending in the helicopters to use their downwind to blow off the water on the cherries. Otherwise, the cherries will absorb the water and they'll pop.
Right.
And then they can't sell them.
So and you guys are already time for cherries.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But now it sounds like a war zone out there because there's cherry bombs, which are they sound like gunshots to scare the birds out of the trees. Between that and the choppers, it's just like, what's happening?
It's not coming through on the mic.
Okay,
your rooster time.
Our roosters are about ready to
flatbreads. Funny when you were talking about cooking outside, you see me like turn around because my window's open. My summer kitchen is right down there and Joel must be roasting coffee beans, which means I have a latte on the way. Yay. I need one so bad.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, rats. I was just going to say something, but my pencil broke. So I got distracted.
So eating outside, even if you're not cooking outside.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Yep.
We set up we've just done a plastic table with a tablecloth outside lots of times. Like we're just going to eat out here. We're going to experience this. But if that's not even possible, like pack a picnic. Even if it's just like Costco lunch meat and bags of chips, go eat by the river.
Yeah.
Like put your toes in the river. Go up into the wood. Do something. Do something outside. Eat it outside.
Two. Speaking of shameless plugs, I'll give one for Old World because the summer edition is coming out on the 20th or pre-sale on the 20th. There's like over the top article on eating outside.
It is.
Beautiful. Encouraging. It's everything. In our family, my grandma used to say everything tastes better outside.
It does.
It just does.
This is true.
Okay. So herbs, cooking outside, flatbread. I think it's really important not to don't get like, I know women, we get so bogged down and we just like want to take everything on. Just get like a few signature moves that you can just play, mm-hmm. like the flatbread or
mm-hmm. a flatbread and like whole roasted chickens. Let's talk about that skill.
Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Skilling up in the kitchen could look as simple as learning to spatchcock a chicken because it cooks way faster when you mm-hmm. spatchcock it. So think about a whole chicken, which is a very price efficient way to buy chicken, way cheaper yes. per pounds. So our family, I have to cook two now because mm-hmm. this is the stage of life we're at. Soon it'll be three, I'm sure. So what I do is I take two chickens that are defrosted and I cut them up the spine with a knife. And it's weird your first time, but you'll get the hang mm-hmm. of it. And that opens it up kind of like a butterfly. And then you just use your body weight to smoosh it down so it lays flat.
Yep.
Olive oil, salt, either put it on the grill or just roast it in the oven. When it comes out, squeeze some lemon juice over it, a bunch of herbs, and then serve it. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And you're like, thank you. I am amazing.
Thank you. just you saying that, well, I'll have to post a video on the Patreon page of Anais when she's four, getting a handle on the word spatchcocking.
It's oh,
amusing.
I called it spangcocking for a very long time.
Excalibur, apple trees, and spangcocking.
So
we were in the garden last week and the girls were like, what does Shay call these trees again? Excaliburs.
Excalibur. Isn't that the dehydrator?
Exactly. It's my dehydrator. Yeah. The thing about summer too is you're giving people this, you can give them this tangible experience. So, you know, I don't, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you do the same, like don't just use the lemons myself in the kitchen. Like I put them with big family, so I put some lemons on some one side of the table and lemons mm-hmm. on the other, and then chopped herbs, so like everybody can just kind of get their hands in. Ooh, I want more lemon.
Yeah,
they get the sexiness of doing the lemon themselves. And I put little bowls of salt, chunky salt out if mm-hmm. they want to add more salt, and the pepper grinder. This there's this whole like tangible, get them involved in developing their own palate and
oh,
just
yeah.
the sexiness, quite frankly, of that,
yeah,
of squeezing the lemon and sprinkling their own herbs. I mean, I think there's something, I really think that's.
Oh, yeah. And it's such an easy way to flush out a table.
Mm-hmm. And the yeah. experience.
Yeah, very much
like, okay,
so.
Now we're actively doing this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a few more skilling up recipes. Okay. So one way I think that we can easily skill up in the summer kitchen, and this may be controversial, is to not use mayonnaise in our salads. Please don't use mayonnaise. I hate mayonnaise. And I'm
not
alone.
Wait a minute.
No.
You hate mayonnaise?
I pretty really? Much hate mayonnaise. Yeah, pretty much hate it.
And homemade mayonnaise?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with homemade mayonnaise. I have never found a need for it that creme fraiche didn't do and didn't do better.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
I said it was going to be controversial, and I stand by it. I'm just saying, even if you love mayonnaise, we're all very familiar with the mayonnaise potato salad, the mayonnaise deviled eggs.
But it's like kind of like homemade mayonnaise has so many more flavors than store mayonnaise because you have like the vinegar and the mustard and the lemon juice. And
well, yeah.
That.
I mean, it depends on how good you are at making homemade mayonnaise and or if okay. you want to and or if you have good eggs on hand. Like these are factors
True.
That you
yeah.
know, play
oh, yeah.
in. Yeah. So I have a recipe in Seasons at the Farm for my favorite potato salad. And it okay. uses just plain yogurt as the dressing. So I'm going to read this to you guys. Again, we'll post these recipes over on Patreon. But okay. if you need a way to skill up your potato salad, which is a staple, at least in America, I read an article once about how bad the British are at making potato salad. And it was a British lady who wrote it. And she's like, I've been to America and they run their potato salad laps around us. Like, why are we so bad at this? I don't know. I've never had their potato salad. Okay, 4 pounds of potatoes, russet potatoes, peeled and obviously boiled until they're fork tender, and then strain them. Okay, so we're mm-hmm. starting with cooked potato cubes that have been cooked in a very salted water. So that's one way to, ooh, that looks good. That's one way to skill up. Cook your yes. potatoes, or if you're blanching please. Vegetables, salt water, salt it, like a half cup of salt in your water.
Pasta, all just keep a thing of salt.
It should
right
taste
next
like
to your
seawater.
Stove, so yeah. you can, yes, Nigella. So you can yep. just grab it and. Pff,
yep, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. So then the dressing is 1 cup of plain yogurt, 3 teaspoons of a real nice sharp grainy mustard. Gotta have your mustard. Mm-hmm. Of course, salt and pepper to taste. And then 2 minced shallots, 1 cup of minced celery, 1 cup of fresh parsley, and then 6 hard-boiled eggs that are peeled and sliced to add in there. And that is a good potato salad. But of course, use whatever herbs you like. Dill. I love dilled potato salad. I love it. Mm-hmm. I actually love little dill pickles cut up and put in my potato salad. So there's a lot of ways you can go with that. But just breaking out of the Costco potato salad.
Yes.
Is a great way to step it up.
You have to. Well, listen to me, dogmatic. But you got to get like a few moves because, yes, those are convenient. Mm-hmm. And there's a time and a place for like pre-made, you know, deli stuff.
Yeah.
But when you do it in your own kitchen and you make a decision like the yogurt or a homemade mayonnaise or ACV or something, and you're making like these intentional little decisions in quintessential American dishes. Mm-hmm. You cannot underestimate the change yeah. in the taste and what that's going to do. Here's my little mayonnaise page with Amy.
Okay, yes. This is and actually, patrons, you get a copy of this cookbook for free, the digital right. version, so you can check this out.
I'm kind of addicted to homemade mayonnaise. And okay. here's why. Backstory. I grew up as a child thinking I didn't like mayonnaise. I would never have a turkey sandwich with mayonnaise. No, no, no. I was a butter sort of a girl, okay? As I was just like, that was one of my things as a kid that I didn't think I liked. Well, I carried that into my grown-up years. And then I went to Paris and tried mayonnaise with French fries. Mm-hmm. And I literally filled my suitcase with tubes of mayonnaise because in France, it comes like in a toothpaste tube. Mm-hmm. And now I don't use ketchup anymore. I use mayonnaise with my yeah. French fries, like a crackhead, like a normal civilized person. I use mayonnaise with my French fries. And I love homemade mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. I could just smear it all over me. I love it. It makes
Sick.
Me so happy.
That
it's
makes me
delicious.
Want to throw up. I like it.
But I'm recovering from like a whole huge portion of my yeah. life not eating mayonnaise. So yeah. now I'm just
You're
like,
just making up
I'm like
for
that
it.
Guy in Chocolat when he's like in the front window. Yeah. Just like, with the chocolate, you know.
No, mayonnaise has a place. I don't mean that. I just mean it can be a great way to skill up to try something else.
Well,
you know,
yogurt
is
herbs,
an easy
like
sub.
All those things make, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yogurt is an easy sub. Yogurt is also a signature move that I have, which is pull out whatever meat I have in the freezer. Whatever, uh-huh. like I did a leg of lamb for a company, which sounds really fancy, but when you grow lambs, it's not that fancy. Stu right. cuts it off the bone and we just cut it. Whatever meat we have, we cut it into 1-inch cubes. Okay. Whether it's mm-hmm. beef or lamb or chicken or pork or whatever. And then I marinate it in yogurt because yogurt has an acid in it, which helps to tenderize and break down some of the meat proteins, mm-hmm. if you will.
Right.
So one of my signature moves is to cube the meat, throw it into a giant bowl, pour some yogurt. I don't measure anything. Pour yogurt over the top. Grab whatever herbs or spices are making your skirt fly up. Garlic powder, mm-hmm. herbs de Provence. I usually use like some sort of curry, cumin, coriander, turmeric, whatever. Just load them in there. Mm-hmm. Massage it and let it hang out in your fridge. And you can use it that night or you can use it in 4 days. But then you have it. And I will usually just throw them on a little shish kebab, slap it on the grill. Everybody loves meat on a stick. And it's like the simplest recipe to cook when people come over. Because then you can hang out outside around the grill mm-hmm. or the barbecue. We call it a grill. You can hang out outside and it's no big deal. The meat's ready. You're not worried about not cooking it correctly because they're just these small little pieces. You can tell easily when they're done.
Right.
Slap them on there. Throw your flatbreads on after the meat's done. That is a signature move. Meat on a stick.
You're making me happy.
Well, we had quite a happy meal last night. We had meat on a stick and cocktails with fresh mint leaves. That's another signature move.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of cocktails, I'm so excited.
Okay. So elderflower doesn't grow here. And elderflower is like indicative of water in the ground. So we have bedrock, right? So it's just not here. It's amazing. 300 miles south. It's in every ditch, every forest edge. So sad. I bought a little tiny tree last year and I planted it. It's already like 4 feet tall and it has flowers on it.
Oh.
I'm so happy.
Yes.
I'm so happy to have grapefruit elderflower cocktails.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Elderflower fritter. Yep. Give me all the elderflower.
Yep. We're doing an elderflower champagne right now. I don't know if you've ever made that, but it's...
I have.
An elderflower cordial.
Flowers this year to do it. Yeah.
Elderflower cordial, for those of you who can grow it. I use gin because it's my jiggle juice of choice. That's what my sister calls alcohol. She calls it jiggle juice. It cracks me up. take a bottle of gin, put in like a cup of honey, some lemons, shove some elderflowers in there and just let it marinate for as long as you want. Strain it and you've got a sipping cordial because it's sweet from the honey and it's florally from the elderflower and it's sharp from the lemon and it's warming because of the gin and it's just so simple and so good and
I'll put the champagne elderflower champagne on Patreon too. I'm making a little list
of all
of what we're talking about for our patrons.
Yes, make sure that you do that so that
Something else I do in the summer, especially because it's frying, is like I'm a huge crab cake person.
Any kind of seafood cake.
Anything. I told you on the phone the other day we couldn't find any crab in Door County.
Yeah.
Apparently nobody here wants to eat crab. And I had a fridge full of salmon. Fine.
Salmon crab cakes.
Salmon cakes.
Yep.
Salmon cakes it is.
Yep.
I've got a good recipe. It's not mine. It's David Link's, who's the chef from Cochon, where we went in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I think it's on YouTube. I'll post that too.
Okay.
Because crab cakes, that's another thing where if you can get really good at that and just like muck about for a few weeks until you develop, you know, take somebody's recipe, add, subtract, you know, get it to where it really suits your palate and your family's palate. I mean,
yeah, that's another good make ahead one, too, because you can use whatever vegetables or herbs you have in the garden.
Right.
Some kind of binding agent. So flour, cornmeal, something.
Stale bread
crumbs, something. Mm-hmm. One of those three.
Yep.
Couple eggs, salt and pepper. And then quite literally whatever protein you have. I think seafood is the best in cakes. I've done them with chicken. Yeah. I've done them with all kinds of things. But any kind of seafood. Salmon. We did ours with black cod. The other night, but you could mix it up, just literally throw it in a food processor, pulse it till it's all combined, and then you could store it in a Tupperware in the fridge for the week.
Yeah.
So that it's like completely ready. You pair that with a nice salad and maybe a plate of tomatoes. A
crisp, cold, rosé, fabulous something or other.
I mean, it's so good and it just doesn't have to be that complicated. I just thought of one that we have to talk about. And
okay.
I mean, we're talking about skilling up in the kitchen. Ladies, let me invite you to skill up by making fresh salsa. Oh,
come on. That's our department. All right. You tell me yours. I'll tell you mine.
My salsa is never the same twice. And turns out I've come to know myself over the years. I love fermented salsa because I love the zip and the zing of it. So we do a fermented salsa with our tomatoes for a tomato salsa. Mm-hmm. But I love tomatillo salsa 100 times more than red salsa.
Okay.
So this year, instead of growing a ton of tomatoes for salsa, I grew a ton of tomatillos. So tomatillos, they are little green thingies with seeds in them. They have a little husk, papery husk on the outside. So yeah, they drop off the plant, you peel off the husk, and then dead simple. I roast them just because it adds a really good flavor. And I throw them in my Vitamix blender with cilantro, garlic, salt, pepper, onion, bell peppers if I have them, or jalapenos if I have them. Mm-hmm. Like all the salsa. And I just blend it until it's smooth. And it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And roasting, for people listening, you're just blistering basically just till they blister.
Yeah. Sometimes I just even throw them under the broiler, you know, just to get some char, get some good flavors going on. So that's typically the salsa that I make. But we also do what we call a cabbage salsa here. I don't know if you guys do that. So it's like super shredded cabbage. And then you just add in chopped onion, chopped tomato, chopped jalapeno, salt and pepper, and vinegar. And you like massage it and let it hang out and marinate. And then you eat that with chips. And I think it's actually called pico de gallo. That might not be true. We call it cabbage salsa.
Okay.
And everyone knows what I'm talking about when I go to, we have actually a market. It's called The Plaza. And they're great. And they make all their salsas in-house. So if I'm in a rush, I'll do that. But homemade salsa is just so fun. And people
And just
think,
like experiment.
Yeah.
Like peaches and habanero.
Mm.
That's a good combo.
So how does Joel's the salsa maker, right?
And your
what does he
do? He's super basic. He's tomato.
Okay.
Cilantro. Serrano pepper.
Okay.
Onion.
Does he blend
lime
them
juice,
up?
Salt. Cuisinart.
Mm-hmm. Or he pulses it. Does he seed the tomatoes?
No.
So just like just tomatoes, whole tomatoes. Roma tomatoes?
Yes. Whatever we have.
Okay.
So in the winter, it's canned. In the summer, it's fresh. Whatever we have.
Okay.
Yep. Not picky.
Okay.
And then usually if we're having company, like we'll make like two.
Yeah.
Okay. Like here's the mild batch, which everybody still thinks is too hot.
Yeah.
And then here's the knock your socks off one.
Yeah. Angela has an incredible spice palette that I can't even come close.
It's not really a fair.
It's not a fair comparison.
Ground zero.
No, it's not.
My poor company.
It's not. But salsa is
nothing. It's nothing.
Salsa is one of those things that you can, when you learn to make it, you can use it as your appetizer. Put it out with chips while everyone's hanging around the grill. Mm-hmm. Or you can, you know, have poached chicken breasts that are made ahead of time and serve a fresh salsa over the top with a flatbread. Like that could be the whole thing.
Oh my gosh. The next morning then. So if we've entertained like on a Friday, then the next morning I make a huge batch of scrambled eggs. I pour salsa all over the top and melted Chihuahua cheese.
Chihuahua cheese?
Yeah.
Never heard Chihuahua cheese.
Yes, you have. It's at Costco. It's the red bag. It's the melting. The melting.
I have like never heard of Chihuahua cheese.
I swear.
Queso fresco? Is that what it is we're talking about?
No, that's the crumble cheese. We call that crumble cheese.
Okay.
That's the one that's like in the rounds and like it's very farmer cheese.
Yes.
You can crumble it. But
Huevos rancheros in the morning.
This is the white cheese that like melts.
I don't know what you're talking about. But it's okay. It's like mozzarella.
Only better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Mexican.
The Mexican mozzarella.
Right, right.
I love that. Okay, here's another one. Caramelized fruit, anything is a signature move for me in the summer. It's a super easy way to skill up if you've never done. So hear me out. You're giving me a confused look. Okay.
No, I'm just thinking ahead to what you're going to say.
So caramelized peaches, caramelized apricots, caramelized plums, caramelized cherries, anything. Caramelize anything. Here's what I do. I do a cup of butter and a cup of sugar. I use dehydrated whole cane sugar, Rapadura sucanat. It goes under many aliases. Or even maple sugar will work, but it's more expensive. Melt those together. Get them just like simmering on the stove. And it'll start to brown. It'll start to caramelize. And then you just throw in a cup of cream and a pinch of salt. And it kind of just creates this like caramely sauce. Okay. This isn't like the thick sundae sauce. This is meant to be like a caramel cream. And then you just throw in whatever fruit you want and you let it cook down and simmer. Not till it's mushy, but just let it be. Okay.
Okay.
And then you eat it. And you can eat it over.
And then you eat it.
You can eat it over shortbread. You can eat it in a bowl with like, you could eat it with ice cream.
Okay.
Dead simple. Super easy way to upscale in your, I have actually this recipe for caramelized peaches in Seasons at the Farm. So we'll make sure we post that too.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about shortbread, then I insist that you scale up in the strawberry shortcake department. No more yellow, spongy things from the end cap in the produce aisle. You really have to try my grandma's strawberry shortcake. So my grandparents were farmers, right? Before cell phones, we all had CB radios, right? And so her handle was strawberry. She loved strawberries. She was a fabulous, her strawberry patch was always amazing. So in our family, we've always eaten strawberry shortcake with a really good biscuit made with lard, no spongy nonsense, on whatever the best vanilla ice cream you can get your hands on. Biscuit on top, strawberries over the top, sort of macerated so the juices have been released, a sprinkle of sugar to help pull the pull the juices out, and then heavy creamer half and half over the top.
Diet food right there.
Right, that's butt extended goodness, man.
I actually did a strawberry shortcake recipe when we came back from New Orleans for the cooking community because I was just so angry at how bad the strawberry shortcake was in New Orleans.
That was offensive. No, like really, like this, when I serve this, people are like, what is this? I'm like, this is strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, this is what it tastes like. Real strawberry shortcake.
It's just amazing. And I got to tell you, for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to have to make this actually now.
Yeah.
Because it's tis the season. There's so much fun to be had.
That strawberry shortcake was jacked.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So I did a New Orleans themed cooking community month last month, I believe it was. And anyway, I did my strawberry shortcake recipe in that because I was just like, and this is how it goes down, New Orleans. Maybe it was a one-off bad thing, but still.
You might know how to float oysters in butter, but
let's work on our shortcake.
Let's work on our desserts.
One real other way to skill up as we're thinking about this, just in terms of what we're actually cooking, summer is a great time to learn to make a quiche. If you have not dove into the quiche world yet.
Dove in?
I don't know. Dived? No. Dove?
Whatever. Jumped.
If you never made a quiche before, now's a great time because herbs and produce, they're just like, this is such a beautiful time. My chickens always lay a little bit worse in the summertime simply because it gets hot. So hot here. When it hits like 90, they're like, we're done. So what I do is anytime I have extra eggs, I crack them into a bowl, whip them together with a little bit of salt, and then I freeze them in like by the dozen in little containers so that if I want to make a quiche, I can just go grab it. And I've got 12 eggs already whipped, ready to go, ready for my quiche, which makes it that much easier. So getting a quiche crust, do you have one in your cookbook? I have one on the blog and I have one in my book. So the quiche crust is like not, it's not a complex thing. You can go find a recipe and then you can just whip up whatever is good at the market, whatever you have in your refrigerator. And quiche is a great luncheon food, breakfast or luncheon if you're having ladies over for a tea or something. There you go. Perfect. This would be a great way to skill up because summer was made for quiches. Quiches were not made for wintertime in the same way. That's a different department of quiches in terms of like caramelized onions and pancetta. Right. But summer quiches, when you've got zucchini and tomatoes and all these beautiful things.
Well, I mean, and that's very much like this, the concept of having a potager. Like I'm going to go out. And whatever's out there, it's going in the bowl.
Yeah. Maybe it's arugula. Yeah. Maybe it's salad, turnips.
Right.
You know, whatever it may be. Or quite literally, whatever. Like if you've got 2 inches of some strange cheese that you're not sure what, great. Grate it up. Throw it in a quiche. It is a...
Oh, my gosh. You know what I
Go ahead.
Sorry, thought you were ahead. You know what I did yesterday? This is so sad. You know how like kind of the first thing of the season is to be celebrated?
Okay.
I harvested my first beets yesterday. Got them done. Put them with the chef, the pine nuts. Put them under the broiler.
Yeah.
Forgot about them.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Oh, sorry.
Of course.
Charbroiled the whole.
Oh my gosh.
The whole thing. I cried.
I bet. When you grow your own food and it flops.
I've only waited since October for this dish.
Oh. Well, yeah. Speaking of, it's time for me to go make my family breakfast. So.
I'm going to go get a chiropractic adjustment.
I need one. I slept wrong apparently. And like, I cannot lift my head. Getting old.
That's
getting old. Yeah. Middle age now.
Oh my gosh.
No, ladies, I know I've said this 100 times. This is it. I am going to work out. This is it. I've had it. I'm going to do it this time.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, do visit us, patreon.com/homemakerschicpodcast. Check us out there so you can get all of these recipes that we've been talking about today. You can get a digital copy of my cookbook from scratch and Angela's cookbook from France to the farm when you become a patron. So visit us there. Show some love to our sponsors, as always, because they keep Homemaker Chic on the air. And what am I missing? Okay.
I don't think anything.
Okay.
I think that's it.
We hope that this inspires you to get into the kitchen and cook and have fun.
Yeah. Experiment.
Yes.
Stretch yourself.
Yeah.
Eat good.
Yes. Eat good and drink good. Okay. We'll see you guys Thursday. Cheers.
Cheers.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.